a bunch off of 2,000 pigs, can't we? We can make a whole lot off of 2,000 pigs. That's right. And so here it is. They had 2,000 pigs that were there, and the demons looked around and they said, "Hey, Jesus, over there on the mountain, there are some pigs. Let us go into them." And Jesus said, "All right." He gave them leave, as the scripture says. And so when he gave them leave, in verse 13, he said, "Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine." And look, sometimes the pig got more sense than we do. The pig said, "Oh, no, you can't live here." But let me show you something in the story of the pigs here. The pigs, look, they ran violently down the steep place unto the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Look at this. The pigs, they ran down. One thing that possession will do to you is run you down. Possession, demonic possession, will lead you from a high place and bring you low. Not only that, but it will choke you up. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, to choke means that you can't get air. What the word air in the Hebrew is, it means spirit. Or in the Greek, pneuma, it means spirit. And so the demonic possession will choke you to the point that you can't receive what's spiritual. Amen. When a person can't receive spiritual things, that means they have a demonic possession, because what's spiritual is not working in their life. Now, we got to understand something, though. The devil, he is spiritual, but he's not powerful. Lord, help me. Some people think that the devil is omnipotent, that he has all power, that he's all powerful, but only God is all powerful. The devil is not opposite of God. He's opposite of you, and you have power to put him under your feet. He's your enemy, amen? He already knows that he can't beat.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Father, in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your Son again, we thank you for this privilege to not only hear your word, but to experience your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will make clear, may illuminate, and bring revelation to your word in each and every heart, both in this sanctuary, who listen by radio or here by cassette tape. We thank you for your word that will go forth and create the change and then rearrange all underneath the skin that's necessary for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to conclude this message that I started on last Sunday, dealing with some things you ought to know about tithing. Malachi chapter 3. And my verse of emphasis today is verse 11. Here's where your benefits come in at. And I think my mission is to restructure the thinking, or the erroneous thinking, as it relates to giving, especially in the local church, of the believers who have been robbed of the understanding of the Word of God. Therefore, they have not practiced the giving the way God wants, and so they have robbed themselves of the blessings God would bestow upon them. And so I need you to see that God has a benefit package for those who obey Him. You know, many times all we see is the giving of ourselves, but what we forget is, in order for us to get or to have, someone else gave. And God is the one who gave first. And so we're simply giving a portion back to Him who gave to us. And certainly we are in a covenant relationship with Him, as we have discussed on last week. Malachi chapter 3. Now, just for the point of emphasis of those verses that we read, for those who were not here on last week, we want to begin at verse 5. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. He says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me when?
Now
herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now here's our verse of emphasis and focus. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." This word that Malachi speaks at the closing of what is known as the Old Testament, he records the words of the Lord in those things that are most heaviest on the Lord's heart, just before he closes down communication to man and will not speak to them for some 400 years. He says to him all these things he's concerned with, because when you understand what the tithe represent, and when you understand the covenant relationship, which is an agreement, a mutual agreement between two parties, God is saying that I have kept my end of the bargain.
but you have not kept yours. He goes back and he is speaking to Israel, and he's telling them through the word and through the prophet of God how he himself feels about their sins and their shortcomings, about if he himself had not bound himself by his own word, that he would have destroyed them. But he's giving them another chance, and judgment will be swift, but he's giving them his insight to their situation so that they might not only change their mind, their actions, but also their deeds. He helps them to understand that he is God. He does not change. He does not vacillate. He does not alter what he has said. He says what he means. He means what he says. He's making clear that because of that, the reason he has not destroyed them is because of a promise he made long ago.
Yes.
Now, the tithe comes into play, where not only was he speaking to Israel as a nation, but he was speaking to the people individually, because this covenant was not only with the nation, but it was with the people of the nation individually. And so he makes clear to them that they have left the covenant or the mutual agreement or the contract that they had many, many generations ago. They left away from the covenant so long that generations afterwards really didn't know what tithing really was, didn't understand the principles of tithing, didn't understand the purpose of tithing, didn't understand the practice of tithing, and they certainly didn't understand the power of tithing. And so when he brings that back into focus in verse 7, he says, even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He tells them, return unto me. Why does he say that to them? Because, of course, he's saying, I don't change, and if I don't change, I don't move. I am steadfast. I am focused. So he says, you left me. I did not leave you. If you will come, return to me, you'll find I was right there in the same contract, in the same agreement, in the same place I was when you left me. So he says, return unto me and I will return unto you, or I will reinstate this covenant or this contract. They said, wherein shall we return? They're trying to figure out, where do we miss it? How have we strayed? How are we out of your will? Look at what he says in verse 8. Will a man rob God? He says, yet ye have robbed me. Now, we remember saying that what God means, it's not in the same literal sense of taking a gun, a Uzi, a knife, or some weapon of force and putting it up to God's head and saying, stick him up. What it means simply when he says, ye have robbed me, it means simply that you have robbed God of the opportunity to bless you the way he wants to bless you. You have literally handcuffed him from acting and moving in your life the way he wants to, because you have been disobedient to the covenant experience. So he says, you have literally robbed me of blessing you. You have robbed me of what I wanted to do for you. So in essence, you have robbed yourself. So look at what he says. Bring the tithes and the offerings, because without them, in verse 8, he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now he says, so that there is no misunderstanding as to what they must do to re-enter the covenant, so that they might be in proper place, so that they may be in the way that God would have them to be, so that he can open up the windows of heaven. Covenant giving, tithing, brings you into your proper place.
Yes.
Where is your proper place? It is not only in God's word and in God's will, but it is in God's way. If I am in my place is going to be right where God's windows are, because when he pours me out a blessing, I need to be right here waiting to receive what he has. But if I'm out of place, I will not be. He didn't say, I will open up the windows and throw you out. This ain't Mardi Gras, throw me up, mister. He said, I will pour you out. That means I must be in place, so that when God pours out my blessing, can't nobody get what God has for me, because I am in my place to receive what the Lord has. So he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Why is God concerned with meat being in his house? Because God is saying that in order for me to feed you, my house must be properly properly stored, I must have the resources necessary to function in the earth realm, to be a blessing, to take care of the house of God, those who take care of the house of God, and then the people of God. So God says, bring it to this resource place. And because you bring it into the local fellowship where God has called you to be a member or a sheep of a fold, your responsibility is to bring your tithe, your tenth, into the storehouse and place it where God has said to place it. Now listen at this. He said, if you do that, he says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and notice again the word is plural, windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing. Now notice there is not an S on the word blessing, but there is an S or a plural on the word windows. Now here's what you've got to understand. It is in understanding the language of the Bible to understand the fruition of the blessing coming into your life. The word blessing literally encompasses every area of opportunity God seeks to bless your life with. When he says blessing, the word blessing encompasses every blessing or all blessings that he has arranged under the covenant giving experience. One blessing from the Lord under this same word covers every area and every arena of your life. If you were able to count the blessings of the Lord, and that's why many of us miss this particular point where God says you will not have room enough to receive it. It comes under the word or the heading blessing, but it encompasses all of your blessings. And if you were to look at every area of your life and take account every day of the blessings that God gives to you, you would not have a place to put all of the blessings. But because we think it simply means money, we realize and recognize that many of us have been tithing for years and we still got a whole lot of places to put money. So it ain't just about money, and we miss it when we degrade our thinking to thinking that that's all God wants to do for us. Money is at the bottom of the list, because I've got news for you. If he gives you money and takes your health, what good is your money? If he gives you money and takes your joy, what good is your money? If he gives you money and gives you nothing to enjoy, what good is that? So that's at the bottom of the list. There are some things he wants to do for you that money can't buy. And when he gets through doing all of those things, he said, now for the things that you want to buy, here's some. Come on, help me somebody. Now understand this, because you've got to understand the blessing. The blessing, the anointing is upon the blessing, because if you are in the stage of being blessed under the blessing, everything that you have need of, all of the blessings will flow under that covenant agreement in the word blessing. So notice what he goes on to say, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now here's where we get to our verse of emphasis, verse 11. And I will. First thing I want you to note again, that this represents the covering. The first few verses talked about the covenant, it talked about the commitment, and then in verse 10 it talked about the consistency, but in verse 11 it talks about the covering. The covering. Remember, we dealt with that on last Sunday, just touched on it, the covering. Now what's the covering? What is the purpose of a covering? A covering is designed to overspread you. It is to enclose you, and it is to include you. When you talk about a covering, and especially as it relates to God, this word then gives light and vent to a whole new understanding. As a matter of fact, it goes into various ramifications of understanding. As many definitions as the word covering can include, God does that and so much more. To understand the covering, one of the things that I want us to emphasize is in this same text and understanding in verse 11, he says, and I will. Mm-hmm. Under the covering, we have a promise from God. Right. List this down, a promise. What is God saying? He said, and I will. And I will. God is promising that if you will do what he said in verse 10, he will do what he says in verse 11. Now, he can't do what he wants to do in verse 11 until you do what you're supposed to do in verse 10. If you bring the tithe, which again suggests that you know that he is the creator, that he is the source, and that he is the supply. Tithing means that you enter into agreement, you come into subjection, you submit your life and your livelihood to him as your source. You recognize he's the one who opened the doors for you, he's the one who made the way for you, he's the one who sustains you. And so it is obedience. I surrender what belongs to God because of obedience. It's not how I feel, it's not what I might think or desire, it is what he said. So out of obedience, I am in covenant relationship with him. I release to him what he has deemed holy. He said the tithe is holy. It means that it is separated unto him and for the work that he has given it to. And so when you take the tenth out of the hundred and use that tenth that God has earmarked as holy and set aside for his work, no matter what you spend that tenth on, it is in violation of the covenant agreement. Therefore, the moment you take that tenth that is holy and spend it on whatever is unholy, you have not only disavowed the contract, you have not only broken the agreement, but you have entered afresh into the curse that binds God's hands, handcuffs him from reenacting all of the things that he said he would do according to his word. So understand that the tithe is submitting your life and your livelihood unto the Lord. And so when you understand that, God says, now that you've obeyed me, I promise I will. And when you've got a promise from God, can I tell you, you've got a promise. God is so faithful that he will not break his promise. And why am I trying to emphasize this to you? Because when you do your part, you have a right, a contractual agreement with God for God to do his part. I can't emphasize enough to you, when you are under the covering, he has promised that there are blessings in the blessing that he provides to you, and this is a part of that. So under the covering, and imagine again, if you are under the covering, then you are under the promise of God. God is not a man that he should lie. If he's not a man that he should lie, then that means whatever he says, he's bound by what he says. If I believe what he says and act on what he said, he is obligated to do what he said. And so in understanding the promise, if I understand the promise, listen to me well, and I practice the principle in verse 10, then I can't help but get the profit that he promised. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Now listen at this again. He says, one, I promise, because he says, and I will. Now, I can't even begin to tell you all that incorporates when he says, and all that encompasses. But look at what the rest of that verse says. He says, and I will. Now, here's the next part. Rebuke the devourer. Now, that enters into the second part under the covering, and that is protection. Not only does he give us a promise, but in the promise, he provides protection. Because he says, promise, I will. What will you do you promise to do? To protect you, because I will fight the one who's fighting you. What does the devourer do? He comes in and takes over that does not belong to him. When he comes in and devours, he comes in and literally takes not only controlling interest, but he then negates all of your power, usurps all of your authority, and renders you inoperative in every area of your life. And there are times when the enemy brings against forces far greater than you to stand up in you by yourself and fight against. He says, but every time you do what you're supposed to do, I promise I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And when the devil messes with you, I will push you back. Step in your place and said, now what you said you were going to do again, devil? Y'all don't hear me. will protect you. If you've ever been in a situation where somebody bigger than you, stronger than you, came to your rescue because someone greater than you was picking on you, isn't it refreshing to know that you don't have to worry about battles you can't fight when they are more than you can handle and you are in covenant with God and you have a promise from God? Then know that you've got protection from God. And when you've got protection from God, listen at what comes next. Because I want you to see, he says, and I will, that's the promise. Rebuke the devourer, that's protection. But he says something else, for your sakes, and that's the peace. Y'all gonna catch it somewhere on the way going on. I have peace underneath the skin, because listen at what God says, I'm doing all of this for your sakes. I don't need it. I'm in control. It is well with me. The devil in hell tried to mess in my program many years ago, and I kicked him and everything connected with him out of heaven. He's no match for me. It's well with me, but I'm going to include this in the covenant for your sakes. Listen at this now. My peace comes in when I know God ain't doing this for him. He's doing this for me. And if he's doing this for me, then look out, devil. Y'all don't hear me. But as I said on last week, how can you get your claim filled if you don't file your claim? And if you don't know what you can claim, then the devil can mess with you and you're still underneath a covenant agreement with God, but you've got to file your claim. God, you said in your word, you're doing this for my sake. I need some protection right now. I need peace right now. What again are the insurance policies selling? Because for most, all practical purposes, it's an intangible reality. It's based on a possible future occurrence. So all insurance companies are selling is peace of mind about protecting you about what might happen. I wish I had a witness here. And when you get that policy signed and enforced, you have peace of mind knowing that you're covered. Have I got a witness here? And if you know that you're covered, there is a certain peace. If my house burned down, I wouldn't like it, but they'd have to build me up one no less than the one I got. As a matter of fact, it might be better than the one I got because I'm covered. You got your car fully insured and covered. Some person driving who is not as experienced as you and, you know, wreck up your car, tear up your car. If you're fully insured and covered, and they are too, their insurance will take care. But if you are fully insured and covered and they ain't got no insurance, you still covered. I wish I had a witness. And see, when you are in covenant relationship with God, even if the person that runs into you ain't covered, I'm talking about tithing now, and you are covered. How many times have you seen folk run into folk and they got messed up and the one they ran into wasn't? Well, let me help you understand it like this. It's like running into a 1950 Chevy with a 2000 Chevy. And the 50 Chevy is covered totally because it's made of a substance that they don't use today. And so at 25 miles an hour, you can run into a 50 Chevy and total out the 2000 and might not even get a dent on the 50. I wish I had a witness here. When you're covered, you're made of a whole nother material because your covering ensures you that God has got to protect you. And if God is protecting you, then you've got a peace of mind and an assurance that money cannot buy. Now, again, look at this because it's so important. Not only do you have the promise and not only do you have what God has given in terms of protection, but he gives you the peace, and it is a peace that passeth all understanding. When you do your part and you stand on what God has said, hold him to the promise, There is something underneath the skin that God has placed there that will not allow you to stress out and come unglued at the seams, because you know, even if he doesn't come when you want him to, you know, even if he doesn't show up when everybody else is expecting him to, there is a peace underneath the skin that says God is working this thing out for your better good. And if he doesn't show up when you think he will, just wait on him, because when he does show up, it's going to be better than what you expected when you were looking for it. I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes God will allow some things to happen just so that he can do some bigger and better things for you. Whatever he allows many times the enemy to do for evil, God means that for good. So when you're under covenant relationship with God, don't freak out when it looks like the devil is overcoming you. God's letting him work on your behalf. For the word says, for we know that all